turn now inward, and we are called to confession with Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away, through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up by the heat of summer.
I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. We'll start that prayer in song, then in silent confession. Do so both personally, individually, and also corporately as we confess our sin before God. Holy Father, we humbly acknowledge that we are sinners and have sinned against you in our thoughts and in our words, in our ways and our actions, Lord. And we justly deserve your righteous wrath. We have no merit before you to ask anything good. And so we plead with you to look down on us in mercy, that you would turn us from all our sinful ways, that we might live holy lives before you. Forgive all the hours and days and years that we have spent in foolishness and idleness and sin. Fill us with sorrow for our misspent time. Lord, sorrow that we might change our ways and be strengthened by your word to walk in your will. Remember that you are our Redeemer and that we are the people you have purchased by the blood of your Son. Remember you have written your name over us and that we bear the mark of your baptism. Remember not our iniquity, and rather continue the good work you've begun in us by your grace and in such a way that all will know that you are our God, that Jesus is our Savior. And this we ask in your most precious name. Amen. And this is our assurance that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you.
serve us, please. Deepen serve us, please. Now we desire to worship God with His tithes and our offerings.
You to stand for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 86, a Psalm of David. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble I call upon you, for you answer me. For there is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me, for you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You know that we cannot overemphasize enough the importance of prayer in our spiritual lives and in the life of our church. Prayer is the fuel. It's the engine. To our corporate and our personal lives. And everywhere in Scripture, we are urged to offer up prayers of thanksgiving and intercession and petition to God. The book of Psalms is called the hymn book of the Bible, but it's also the prayer book of the Bible, and God gave it to us to teach us and to give us wisdom for how to sing and to how to pray. There is no human experience that cannot be sung or prayed to God. You read the Psalms and you see every kind of possible circumstance or situation. Now, in everything in life, we need tools to accomplish the things we want to accomplish, whether it's farming or cooking or learning or building or communicating or getting from one place to another, we need tools. Well, For the most important work, which is spiritual, the most important tool is prayer. And God's gift to us to help us is this book of Psalms. And this book helps us to have conversation with God that is free from the corruptions of our own minds and souls. The Psalms help us get out of our ruts and out of the laziness in our prayers, out of the repetition or the triviality or the mediocrity of them. It helps us to express what our hearts and souls most want to communicate to God. And so there is an overarching message in the Psalm, in the Psalms. It is that God is good and that life is difficult. And by faith we live in between these two realities. God is good and life is hard. So brothers and sisters, as we start this new year together, this new church year, the new school year, we dare not begin without making our appeal to God. And so this evening, let's take the message, the meaning, the method of Psalm 86 as our hope and our help. And I have titled this meditation, The Blessing of Being Poor and Needy. He begins, Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you I cry all the day. So his first petition to God is that God would listen to him. And it's interesting that he would start that way, but it's wise that we not take God's ear for granted, that we don't presume, that we don't assume. After all, he is the almighty, sovereign, infinite creator. So honor God by asking him. Because God delights to glorify himself in answer to our prayers. So begin by asking God to answer. Give ear, Lord, to me as I pray. And don't miss how personal and intimate this prayer is. He's not praying, he doesn't say that you are God. He says, you are my God. And of course, don't miss who's praying this. This is not just David. This is King David, the great king of Israel. But notice, even though he is the anointed king of Israel, he's acknowledging before God his lowly status, his humility, his reminds us that this is the essential posture that we should have before God. And notice what motivates us to pray. Why do we call out to God? What is required before we pray? If you're sick, you're motivated to go to the doctor. If you're hungry, you're motivated to go to the kitchen. If you're tired, you're motivated to go to bed. Well, what is required here? That you sense your need. You're aware of your dependence. You know that you're poor and needy. Now, I know we don't always think of ourselves that way, but it's important for us to realize it. In Ron DeValois' prayer this morning, he used Psalm 40. And I think he even mentioned Psalm 40, verse 17. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Now, when David speaks of being poor and needy here, he isn't referring to his bank account, of course. He's referring to his spiritual account. He recognizes his spiritual distress, his lingering doubts, his physical weakness, his emotional struggles, his lack of wisdom. It's like the first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit who know the poverty of their souls. But now there is a little lingering question here. I don't know if you noticed that second verse there when he says, preserve my life for I am godly. I think that hits all of our ears a little. I'm not sure that I would be confident to say that, right? I mean, we would have that hesitation. And why does he say that if he is humble in spirit, if he recognizes that he is poor and needy? Well, it helps to understand the word and even the parallel phrase to it. He's not saying he's a terrific guy, perfect, sinless. After all, in the same prayer, he mentions forgiveness. The word means that he is loyal, that he is devoted to God, that he's faithful, that he's in a covenant relationship with God. He is one who trusts God completely. He's a man after God's own heart, after all. And he loves God more than the world. This is why he's crying out. So that's the meaning of that. It's a covenant term that is in response to the steadfast love of God. This is his response of his own steadfast love and loyalty. So we have this first motivation to prayer, which is poverty of spirit, his own need, being poor and needy. The second motivation to prayer, of course, is who God is and what he is like. There is none like you among the gods, and nor are there any works like yours. For you are great, and you do wondrous things. You alone are God. God is greater than which there is no other, of course. No gods can even compare. He has no equal. He made the heavens and the earth. He made the nations, and all the people groups of the earth are his doing, even the ones that are most violently opposed to him. And what an incredible thing it says about God, what it means about God, that he will be worshipped by people from every tribe and tongue and language and nation. There is no God like this. He alone is God, and he alone does great things, and he exerts this greatness on behalf of his people. So, David is poor and needy. God is great and good. And because of this, because you are good, God, because you are forgiving, because you abound in steadfast love, because you are great and do wondrous things, because you alone are God, again and again and again, pours out this prayer. So we start in our great need, and we bring this great need to God. God says, call on me, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. Do you hear that pattern? That is the pattern of a godly life. Call on God, and he will hear and answer and deliver, and we will glorify him. Pray, receive his answer, glorify him. This is the rhythm of life. And how often? Well, he says all day, every day, all the time. This is the pattern of life that God calls us to. So I urge us to make this our habit, to be persistent, to be constant, to be faithful in prayer. Learn how to pray quick, short, little prayers as you go. Learn how to pray on the fly, on the move, going from here to there and to the next place. Learn to glorify God by this constant, faithful conversation and dialogue that just goes on all day as you acknowledge your dependence. So we're praying tonight to a sovereign Creator who delights to hear and answer, and we are his children. And so we have needs, and we want to connect those needs with the one who has the power, the resources to meet them. We have a big, busy, full year ahead of us. A year full of opportunities. Opportunities to worship God, glorify him, to exalt Christ, to equip the saints, to evangelize the lost world. And so it is always wise to begin with prayer. Let us seek his face together this evening, this week, and this year. Heed the words of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 and following. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Amen. Let's pray. Indeed, God, you are great and good. And we acknowledge that we need you. We need you to guide us. Lead us, Lord, please, from making any wrong turns or heading down wrong paths. Lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lead us with your wisdom to know you. Lead us away from our old ways when we sought pleasure and status and recognition and selfish pursuits. And Lord, would you now give us a united heart as your people, undivided, loving you, fearing you, Lord. Make yourself our wholehearted desire, that we too might be godly, loyal, devoted, committed, faithful, that we might fulfill your purpose for us and glorify your name forever. And this we ask for the sake of Jesus Christ and his church. Amen. Now in silent prayer, and in this prayer I urge you to think about the life of the church and the ministries that are before us, the opportunities, and whatever the Spirit brings to your mind, would you lift that ministry, that work, that service up in prayer for the leaders, the volunteers, prayers for those who participate or are involved, but just cast this prayer over the church and all that is before us and all that we purpose to do by God's grace. And after a couple of minutes, Gene, then come on up and close us out in prayer. So let us pray.